As always, a hearty welcome to Truth Be Told, our bi-weekly or weekly audio teaching if I happen to have strep throat that particular week, brought to you exclusively by Hand of Help Ministries and its main website, handofhelp.com. These audio teachings are free. They are here for you to listen to download, and to distribute as you feel led, as it is our humble honor to bring the Word of God to you as we are able. The human body needs to consume nutrients in order to survive. We need water, we need food, and absent these things, our bodies begin to atrophy, they begin to fall apart, and eventually expire or cease to exist altogether. The same goes for the spiritual man, which needs to be fed on a constant and consistent basis. And based on the spiritual food that our spiritual man consumes, we are either both strong and vibrant spiritually, or we are weak and lethargic. There is an old saying that we are what we eat, and if it is true in the natural, it is likewise true in the spiritual. If we consume truth, if we consume the Word of God, we will be stronger for it, having gained the vital spiritual nutrients that will sustain us in our times of spiritual exertion and that will sustain us in our times of spiritual lack. Now, the Word of God is plentiful. There are millions of Bibles laying in homes covered in dust, with few people paying them any mind. There are countless teachings. There are countless books. There are countless books on teaching. There's audio, there's video, and even written form. And all of these are readily accessible to anyone and everyone. Yet fewer and fewer people take the time to feed their spiritual man. The day is coming, however. I do believe that the day is coming when the Word of God will no longer be so plentiful, when there will be a lack of God's Word, as there already is a lack of truth throughout the land. When I speak of truth, I'm not referring to my truth or a certain denomination's truth, but the truth of the Bible, that unchanging absolute truth that resides within the pages of Scripture, that truth that is able to transform the inner man, which is able to illuminate us as to our condition and cause us to seek God in repentance. Throughout history, men have taken certain liberties for granted, until those liberties were slowly choked off and then done away with altogether. Only when their liberty was gone altogether, only when it was definitively and irrevocably done away with, never to be resurrected or resuscitated again, did the masses realize and acknowledge what they had lost. Only then did they begin to have their eyes open to the reality of what they had taken for granted. If today you have the freedom to read the Word of God, then read it. If today you have the freedom to listen to these teachings, then listen to them and let them feed your spirit. Tomorrow is another day, one that will come with its own set of challenges and difficulties and changes. And these changes may surprise and even shock you. I learned long ago to take nothing for granted. If I have my health, then I must thank God for it. If I have freedom, then I must thank God for the grace of living in a nation with freedoms, and then do my utmost to utilize the time that I have to redeem the time and grow in grace and grow in wisdom and grow in the knowledge of God. No one can guarantee you perpetuity of freedom. No one can guarantee you perpetuity of being able to serve God openly. And if one is wise and they see the world through spiritual eyes, they soon realize that indeed we are headed in a direction that will very likely lead to the persecution of the saints, even in these lands. So my prayer and my hope is that we redeem the time, that we grow in God today. Don't put it off. Don't say in your heart that you have plenty of time to mature your spiritual man, to exercise your faith and thereby grow in it, because today is all we have. Now is all we can be certain of in regards to the quickly changing times that are visible throughout the earth. Today, since we are still able and we're still here, and the love of God and the love for truth has not diminished in our hearts, we will continue a journey that we started some time ago, namely that of rediscovering Christ. This is the 8th part of a 50 to 70 part series on the person, the teaching, the life, and the divinity of Christ Jesus. And today, we will explore Christ as Redeemer. Before we proceed further, I want to reiterate the scripture that is the backdrop to this entire series, our anchor, and the premise from which this entire body of teaching began, because it is important, as well as a wonderful scripture passage that we must not only know, but also embrace and aspire to. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, and they say this: "But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." As I said, today we will be rediscovering Christ as Redeemer, a Redeemer who lives, a Redeemer who loves, and a Redeemer who saves. Now, in its most basic definition, a redeemer is one who redeems or buys back something or someone that was sold to a third party. Jesus is the redeemer, and he is the one who redeems us, who plucks us from the darkness and the mire of sin, who cleans us by his holy blood, who gives us a white garment and embraces us as his own. One of the most beautiful scriptures detailing Christ as redeemer is found in the book of Job. It is a scripture that I read often that speaks to me on a very personal level, and one that I want to share with you today. You've probably sung the first part of the scripture, since it is also a beloved hymn, but there is more to this passage than just the first 7 words. Job 19, verses 25 through 27 say this: "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." The most tragic thing for me to witness nowadays is the marginalization of Jesus within the church. I realize this may sound blunt, unloving, unkind, or unmerciful, but we have marginalized Christ. We have marginalized the teachings of Christ. We have marginalized the message of Christ within what ought to be his own house. Because rather than conform to him, we expect Christ to conform to us. Yes, you heard correctly. Rather than conform to Christ, we expect Christ to conform to us. We've lost sight of the fact that it is in him that we live, and it is in him that we breathe, and it is in him that we move. We've lost sight of the fact that he is our all in all. We've lost sight of the fact that he is the redeemer of our eternal souls, because in the struggle between flesh and spirit, in many a life, the flesh has won. The flesh refuses to acknowledge a greater authority than itself. It refuses to acknowledge that it too must bow, because it desires to reign supreme. without the hindrance of worship or submission to the authority of God. It is when we realize that by his life and death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for our redemption. It is when we acknowledge the full gravity of this truth and how it directly impacts our lives that the flesh is weakened and subdued, and Jesus takes his rightful place upon the throne of our hearts. It is when we reacquaint ourselves with what Jesus has done. It is when we rediscover the lengths to which Jesus went that we might be redeemed from everlasting darkness that we can't help but be humbled. We can't help but feel thankful. We can't help but love him and worship him for who he truly is. Nowadays, we preach a flawed gospel to the masses. We preach within the context of what Jesus will do for the unsaved once they come to him and not what he has already done on their behalf. Well, you know, if you come to Jesus, you'll have stuff. And if you come to Jesus, you'll be rich and handsome and your crooked teeth will be made straight. You'll have a carefree life and butterflies will hover about your head in the summertime and a halo of bliss will surround you in perpetuity. Here's the truth. We don't come to Jesus for what he will do for us. We come to Jesus because of what he has already done. He has already redeemed us. He has already paid the price. He has already bled and suffered for our sins. There is nothing more that Jesus can do for you in this life that will come anywhere near the same hemisphere as what he has already done. To those who believe in him, Jesus has given everlasting life. Jesus has redeemed them. Jesus has bought them, and the price he paid is none other than his own precious blood. So how does Jesus redeem? How does he go about redeeming us? Job sees this redeemer as living and active and present, as well as existing in the future and one day returning and standing on the earth. Job sees Christ the Redeemer in all of his complexity. Now, there are certain things that we must understand concerning the Redeemer in order to perceive the beauty of him. And the first thing is that the Redeemer redeemed us with a price. There was a price to be paid for our redemption. There was a debt that needed to be settled. The justice and righteousness of God demanded that a price be paid for our redemption and that a sacrifice be made that we might be reconciled unto him. Jesus redeemed us with his own blood. And he redeemed us with his own life. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 17 through 19 say this, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here on earth in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Through the precious blood of Christ, we were redeemed, not through our own righteousness, not through our own abilities, but through the blood of Christ. Christ redeemed us. Christ bought us, and he bought us with his blood. He shed his holy blood, his precious blood, his blood without blemish and without spot, that one day, we might stand before him. He shed his holy blood for us that we too might be spotless, that we too might be righteous and holy in his eyes, that we might be with him one day and glory in his presence for all of eternity. Not only does Jesus pay the price for our redemption, his worth is such that the price he paid is received as fair recompense. The blood of rams and goats and all manner of livestock would not have been considered fair recompense for our redemption. I hazard to say not even all the blood of all the rams and goats in the world would have been sufficient for one soul to be redeemed from the darkness of sin. But the blood of Christ was so precious. The blood of Christ is so precious that by his death, all who receive him, all who serve him, all who call him Lord and King are forgiven and redeemed. As I ponder Christ the Redeemer, I can't help but be humbled by another truth. Another fact that jumped out at me, the fact that Christ esteems us more highly than we often esteem ourselves. Just let this get down into your heart for just a second. Let it settle there and realize the beauty of it. Jesus thought you were worth it. Jesus thought you were worth it. God's love compelled him to send his son Jesus to die for us, to redeem us, to reconcile us unto the Father. And Jesus never attempted to bargain down the price of redemption. He didn't say, what about a few goats per soul? He didn't say, well, just kill a few chickens. Or say a few lines from a prayer that, you know, and that should be enough. As Peter puts it, we were purchased not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And Christ shed his precious blood that we might be purchased or redeemed of his own free will. Having so loved the world that he gave his life so that we might have life in him. I am continually in awe of God's love. I am continually in awe of God's mercy, and I'm daily humbled by the fact that the Son of God redeemed one such as me. The Son of God paid a price that I might be free and have liberty in him, that I might no longer be shackled to this world, that I might no longer be shackled to the darkness, but be embraced by the eternal and everlasting Creator as one of his own. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He has redeemed us. He has purchased us with his precious blood. And knowing this, we ought to, in perpetuity, love him and worship him and serve him and tell all who would hear that the Son of God purchased us, and not with gold or silver, but rather he redeemed us with his own blood. As always, thank you for taking the time to listen to these audio messages as well as sharing them with others. Thank you also for your prayers for this ministry and this work. Until next time, may you love the truth. May you live the truth. May you speak the truth, and may you spread the truth. Rejoice, dear friend. Jesus redeemed you. He is the Redeemer of your soul. God bless you.